Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Good evening, good evening, good evening. I am part co-host of the D&K Bible Break. We just want to say good evening. Happy Monday to each and everyone that is listening. All over the world, all over the place, whether you're listening to us on the internet radio or you're listening to us through the phone lines, we just want to say hello. Glad to have you as we get ready to start the D&K Bible Break. This evening on this Monday, first day of March, for all those that are listening to us, again, hopefully you had a blessed weekend. Hopefully your week is getting started off great. And with that being said, this is D&K Bible Break. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. That's how you get us on the internet, and you can always reach us on the phone lines at 845-277-9094. I want to say good evening, and my wife, better half, Miss Kay, is on the line with us. Good evening, Miss Kay.
Good evening. Happy Monday.
Just want to wish everybody again a happy Monday. First and foremost, we want to give honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for without him, we know him that this would not be possible. We just want to thank the Lord for waking us up in our right frame of mind, giving us the activities of our limb. We also just want to say thank the Lord just for being a part of our life and our family's life and giving us this platform to be able to share his word. Also, I want to say thank you to all my sponsors. Big thank you to Pepsi, Pizza Hut, Outback Steakhouse, which is our newest, Brentwood Publishing in the Royal Caribbean, and Pizza Hut. Of course, we just want to say thank you for allowing us to be here. Also, for allowing us to be able to do Chaos Talk's first revival, which is coming up this Friday. This Friday, we're going to be on Blog Talk. We're going to be on Facebook Live. We're going to be all over the internet this weekend for the first annual Chaos Talk revival. I'm so excited about it. I'm just excited because we get to go back to the basics. We get to just preach Jesus, nothing more, not just Jesus, you know. And hopefully that we souls will be saved. Right now, I just got good news, and the devil mad, and the devil gonna be coming hard at me. One of the biggest news is there's a prison, I believe it's called Walden. I'll have all this information tomorrow. Walden Prison out of London, England. The prison's a little different over there. They have phones. And what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that the inmates have a phone card to call in to listen to us Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday during this revival. From my understanding, they have phones in their cells and they have phone cards, so they will be able to call direct to us. Now, how many of them is going to have phone cards? I'll have that information tomorrow, but we just got to okay that we can send them the phone cards. Even though the time is late, they will have a special over in London. We're 5 hours, I think 5 or 6 hours ahead of us. So on Friday night and Saturday night, they'll have special privileges to be able to call us to listen to our broadcast. And if they can want to listen on Sunday morning at 9 there, it'd be within their time frame, so they'll be able to call and listen. But that will be that's my exciting news for today, that we're not only are we going to be in nursing homes and senior citizen homes, but now we're going to be directly into a prison. This is going to be a weekly basis thing. We're going to try it out this weekend, and we see how it goes. And if everything goes well and they like us and we like them, we'll try to continue to do this again. But again, that's going to be my announcement on tomorrow. And I'm excited. I'm in preach mode right now, just excited to be able to bring forth the word in a different content, in a different country. Regardless who's bringing the word that night, just on this side of the on what we're doing to make this happen. I'm just excited about it. So that's one good thing that we got going on. So if you don't have nothing to do this weekend, tune in to Blog Talk Radio or go to Facebook Live. We're going to have so many different lives going on each night. You'll be able to catch us one way, shape, or form to see us live. Now, for the people who can't see us live, do old school way. Just pick up a phone, dial it on the phone, and you'll be able to pick us up live. Or go to the internet and just go to www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver, and it'll pull us right up. With that being said, again, we got a great lineup of preachers, 5th, 6th, and 7th, and then from the 26th, 27th, and 28th. I'm just excited. We're going to start out with a female, Dr. McCants. She's going to start us off Friday night, and we're going to end it on the 28th with Evangelist Stanton that's going to take us home. And in between there, you're going to have some great word, great preaching, and I'm just excited about that. And that's pretty much all I got to say about that. Again, tomorrow I'm going to have some more information. And throughout the week, because it's the first time we're doing this, you get a little bonus treat of the Chaos Show. Some of y'all haven't heard the real Chaos Show. Well, this week, a couple of days during this week, and even at night, I'm going to go back and do Chaos. Just for the simple fact that some people have been requesting it, and my sponsor, they want you to give us one or two old Chaos shows. We're going to go back and we're going to do it. We're going to do it. So I'm going to have some surprises this week, during the middle of the week, and then I believe Thursday night I'm going to go live Thursday night after 10. I believe we're going to try something like that. And we're just going to promote this revival. And on Wednesday, we're going to do a fast. The ministers, I'm asking if they can. And if you just want to fast with us for souls, we're trying to get souls saved. So my goal is to you invite 4 or 5 people each night, if they just go to Facebook Live or if they call in or go on the internet, and just have them listen. And at the end, we're going to have some special requirements. If you want to join, if you want to give your life to the Lord, we're going to try to be right there with you and each and everybody that wants to give their life to the Lord. That's what we're going to be fasting on Wednesday from 12 to 12. So I'm excited about that. So, yeah, we're going to fast on Wednesday. I'm asking all the ministers that are participating to fast on Wednesday from 12 to 12. And that's pretty much what we're fasting for. The devil's already mad. He's already attacking. He's trying to discourage us any way and shape and form that he can. But he's already defeated. We're gonna claim victory. And next Monday when I come on, I'm gonna have a great praise report about what happened Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I can guarantee you that. Now, with that being said, we're going to try to move on right into our D&K Bible break, me and Miss K. Before we get started, before I let her come on and get on with the lesson real quick, I just want to share a story because it kind of goes hand with the lesson. And after I get done telling this story, Miss K is going to take over, open us up for prayer, and lead and guide us into the lesson tonight. But I had to fly back home to Ohio last week. I had a long week and did a turnaround trip and flew home. And I saw an old friend of mine, and we were talking. And the conversation was, and I just want you guys to hear what my conversation was, because there's a lot of people like him that's out there. We were talking. I saw him I was ordering some fish and I seen them. We got to talking, and you know, you in a restaurant, you're talking. We said, let's step outside and talk. We went outside, and he asked if he could light a cigarette. I said, go ahead, man. And we were just talking, and I asked him. I said, you still going to church? He said, yeah, I am. And he said that I ain't turned my life over to the Lord yet. Before he said that, he told me everything that he was doing. He told me that he goes to church at least three out of 4 Sundays in a month. He's a consistent tither. He just paid for 2 of the young kids to go on some type of camp. He paid for it. He's supporting the church. He supports the ministry, but he sits in the back of the church, and he was just like, he said, D, and that's what they call me, D, I just ain't ready to give my life to the Lord. And I said, well, what? You're doing everything, but not confessing it. He said, well, I'm involved with these two women, and I'm not proud of it. And he was just sharing with me why he would not accept Jesus into his life. And then he said, not only that, but I'm smoking these cigarettes, and, you know, I like to have a sip of beer every now and then, or even do a shot with my friends on special occasions. But I said, but you're in church almost every Sunday. He said, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to get saved and still do what I do. And right there, then he went on to tell me about how he heard two of the ministers talking about someone else being saved, and how can they be saved and they're sleeping around with these other women. And he confessed he sleeps around with these other women. And the reason he's not going to get saved is because he don't want to be a hypocrite. Now, we went back and forth, and it weighed on my heart, because he's so think that he has to be perfect to be saved. And I'm just going to leave the story right there, because it just weighed on me. And when we were studying this, my wife never knew that I had this conversation. She's first time hearing about the conversation. And because we're getting ready to do this study tonight on, if you just get started, the Lord will finish it. All you got to do is get started. And it's not our place to tell you what you can and cannot do. You just got to get started. That's all it requires you to do is get started. And then Jesus will clean up the rest. And I just believe, and I'm going to shut up and let my wife take over. It's just my opinion. If we can just get started, that's it. If we can just help people get started, it's not our job to clean them up, but it's the Lord's job to clean them up. So with that being said, good evening to everyone in that is listening in tonight as we get ready to get started. Ms. Kay is going to lead us in the prayer, and she's going to take over for a little bit, and she's going to be the next voice you hear. Go ahead, Kay.
I just want to make a comment on what you just said about your friend. And as church people, we just need to be mindful of the words that we speak, because right there in that situation, by that gentleman hearing pretty much the gossip of somebody gossiping about somebody else, that's hindering that person. A lot of times we could be hindering people, and that's not what the Lord wants us to do. That's not our purpose. So we need to be mindful of our conversations and the things that we do, because we don't want to even hinder anybody from going to heaven. We want everybody to make it in. So just be mindful of your conversation, and, you know, just be mindful. If you don't think nobody else is listening, just know that God is listening. So if it ain't right coming out your mouth and it's just you and one other person, now you know you got to clean that up. So that's all I'm going to say about that situation. All right, so tonight, my husband already touched on it a little bit, getting started. I like to say watch God work it. That's what I said, watch God work it. So, but getting started, we're going to be coming tonight from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And I know many people know this story about the widow's oil, and a lot of times it's spoken of as like a financial lesson. Outside of the financial lesson in this message, if you can flow with me a little bit where we're trying to go here tonight. But I'm going to go ahead and start reading 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. It says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he received the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elijah replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a little oil. Elijah said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and afterward shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your sons can live on what is left. I'm going to open us up in prayer. Father God, thank you for allowing us to come together one more time on this evening. Father God, we ask that you remove anything in us that's hindering us from bringing forth what you would have us to say on tonight. We pray that you open our ears, open our hearts, that we may receive your word and not only just hear the word, but be doers of the word. Put your words into action. We ask that you continue to look out for our family members, our friends, our country, our communities, in the name of Jesus. We ask that you continue to just let your will be done in our lives. And we thank you for growth. We thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So there are, you know, things in this life that we go through. And we don't understand why God allows, you know, certain things to happen. And we've all heard this saying, why do bad things happen to good people? Or we hear people say, you know what, you must have done something wrong, and so that's why God is punishing you. So we hear all of these things that people like to throw on us and put on us. But I want you to realize that many things happen in our life, and the way I view it, it's for God to get the maximum glory. At the end of the day, no matter what you go through, it's all about God getting the glory. Today, I'm going to be honest, I was not going to be on tonight. I told my husband I was going through a situation, and I just didn't feel that I needed to be on. I'm like, I'm going to sit this one out. And we talked, and we had a conversation, and it was like a weight was lifted after the conversation that we had. So a lot of the times, we put ourselves in situations, and we allow the enemy to, you know, supersede what we should be trying to do. But keep moving forward, and God will get the maximum glory on tonight. So in this passage, we have a woman whose husband died. The old creditors who were going to take her sons as slaves. And that was like something that was common during this time, to work off the debt of her spouse. So this woman's husband, if you notice in the first verse, it says that he was from the company of the prophets. So he studied God's word. He honored God. And because he was among the company of prophets, which was a group taught by the prophets of God, which included, you know, God's major prophet, one of God's major prophets, Elijah. So this religious community was established for mutual encouragement and instruction. So at this time, you got to realize it was a lot of Baal worship going on. So this group of people, the company of the prophets, they were a group who were, you know, doing the Lord's work. They were doing everything according to honoring God, the true and living God, not no idol worshipers or anything like that. So with this, the widow goes to Elijah because, look, her husband was a student of Elijah. So she goes to him and tells him her situation. Now, you got to keep in mind, as a widow, they didn't say she was old or anything like that, but I can only imagine, you know, she was probably up in age. At this time, if she would have lost her son, she would have also lost her security. She would have been faced with loneliness, not only bereavement for the loss of her spouse, but if she would lose her sons, they may not have been gone you know, as far as death, but they wouldn't have been in her presence. They wouldn't have been able to be there. She would become destitute. She just wouldn't be able to take care of herself because of her status. Now, pretty much this would be kind of like a death sentence for her. It wouldn't be a good thing. So, of course, she goes to Elijah to tell her the situation, tell him the situation. And it's something about the widows. The Bible tells us about widows. If you take a note of Exodus 22, verses 22 through 23, it tells us that the widows were not to be taken advantage of. So here you have these people, these creditors coming for her son. So when the widow, when she goes to tell Elijah, the prophet of God, she's crying out to him. At the same time, she's really crying out to God. And a lot of times God will put people in our lives physically to offer wisdom, which is what Elijah was doing. He was offering wisdom to her. And that's just a little side note to let you know that God will supply our every need. We have to look for it and we have to ask for it and we have to go out and, you know, put the work in to get it. So, and you can stop me at any time, husband, if you need to. In verse 2, Elijah asked her, as I stated, how can I help you? What do you have in your house? And she says, nothing. Now, my NIV version says, except. I like to use the word but. So she said, I have nothing but a small jar of oil. And so let me ask a question. What do you do when life doesn't go the way you plan, or when your world gets turned upside down? You lose your job. We should say, but God. Your health begins to fail, but God. Anything that you go through, there's nothing too hard for God. So that little oil, she said nothing, but there was a but. That but, that's the part right there. You got to start with something. She had a little bit of oil, but to her, she said nothing. That little but. That was her start. So when she started with that little bit of oil and she followed Elijah's instructions, you'll see at the end she had well enough to pay off her debt. And it actually just took her husband. Did you want to say anything before I go any further? Because I'm just going on.
No, you're good. You're good. Just a few things is when you said, if you surround yourself around the right people, God will know who to send you to send the individual, myself, or whoever. If you surround yourself around the right people, God moves that way that sometimes he can. And I do have a quick story about this, to put in your life for a reason, to confirm things or to give you, when you don't know whether to go right or left, that person will tell you to go right or suggest you go right. You know, God always does things and we use people, you know, in our lives for help. And I'm going to say this and be transparent because, you know, last week we was talking about me eating all this food and all the stuff that we was talking about. And now we're sitting here and we're talking about what we're talking about. And over the weekend, you know, my wife had this bike put in the garage into our bedroom, a workout bike that had nothing to do with me. She would tell you this is for her personal use. I have nothing to do with this bike. But where the bike is set up, it's on my side of the bedroom. It faces me. So every time I look at that bike, I see I don't have to go to the Y. I don't have to go walk around the park. When I get up in the middle of the night, I'm looking at this bike. And it's like the Lord is telling me, you can do all what you need to do right here. I don't have to go nowhere else. And he used whatever the reason my wife put it there. She didn't put it there for me to use. Now, we can joke about it right now, this, that, and the other. But the truth of the matter was, it was for her. But I got to look, and it's like this thing is speaking to me in my spirit world. You need to get on this bike. You need to get on this bike. Why you think I'm here? That bike ain't got nothing to do with Derek. But if you heard our conversation, and I'm not going to go back to what we talked about last week, And my wife didn't put it there for me to be a symbolic message for me, or the Lord told her to do it, because that's not what it was about. But sometimes the Lord would just place stuff in your life for whatever reason it is. And when she went to see the prophet and he told her what to do, giving good instructions, not bad at giving good, because that's who the Lord put in her life. So, you know, what I'm trying to say, you got to surround yourself around good people. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just had to put that out there.
I mean, it's true. And you, a lot of times you need to seek out wisdom. I have a prayer group that I'm with, and it's a group of women that have so much wisdom. And so if I have a situation, we have this group text that we do, send it out. We're not talking about it. We're praying about it. So it's always good to have somebody that you can reach out to that got some wisdom, not no foolishness. So by her going to Elijah, she knew, the thing is, she knew, because her husband, I'm sure, because he was a student of Elijah, I'm sure he brought some home, and she's seen how he was walking and moving and studying. And so she knew there was some substance there. So she knew who to go to. So with this, the woman going to Elijah, if you read, I believe it starts in verse 3, he tells her to go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. And don't just ask for a few. So by him telling her to go to all her neighbors asking for empty jars, I'm sure she may have had some thoughts in her head. I mean, maybe she didn't, maybe she did. But like us, that we may have been thinking, she may have been thinking like, okay, I'm going to go to my neighbors and I'm going to ask for these empty jars. And, you know, some people may have been thinking, you know, what she need these jars for, or what's she trying to prove? Shouldn't she be trying to do something to get out of her situation? People always looking for a handout, you know, things that people say. So she may have had that thought. You know, the enemy loves to play with our mind to tell us, make us feel that somebody is thinking something negative. So she may have had those thoughts going on, or she may have had some neighbors that were so eager to help her, and they gave her more than one jar. So with that, it took a lot of faith. Personally, the way I look at this this passage here, it took faith for her to go from neighbor to neighbor, her and her sons go from neighbor to neighbor asking for empty jars. Back in the day, we used to go get a cup of sugar from the neighbor, borrow a stick of butter. I actually had my neighbor, not my neighbor, but my friend's daughter, the mom, they live like a couple streets over. She needed a stick of butter. The daughter walked over here and got a stick of butter. And I'm like, well, I felt good, because I'm like, hey, that's what we used to do back in the day. That was just a sidebar. Let me focus. But, you know, it feels good when you're doing something, even though that's something simple to you, it may be something major for somebody else. So handing this lady an empty jar, they probably be like, okay, here, you can have it. Have a couple of them. I don't use them anyway. They didn't know that
they
were.
I just want to add something real quick, if you don't mind. I just want to add something, because I don't want to be basis of what we're saying. She had to start somewhere. And because she started with nothing, and because she was told what to do, she took the little bit of what she had, a jar, she started it. Thing about what my point I want to make tonight, and I'm going to let you come back and talk, is she started it. You know, she didn't have to hoop and holler, turn herself around, do all, she just had to start. She didn't know where the middle was going to come. She didn't know where the end was going to come. She just had to start. And one of the things I want to let people know is you just got to start. If you start it, he'll finish it. If you have take that one good step and not worry about nothing else and just start, the Lord will start making a way for you. And as she went and got that first jar, that second jar, third jar, fourth jar, she was just being obedient and started it. And the Lord worked it out till she had enough to pay her debt. And some left. So we just got to learn to start. And just because we're doing things we don't know that we're not doing, in case someone out there is in a position that is living in a life that they feel that they're not living a holy life, just start. Because once you start it and you confess it, it's not up to you no more. The Lord will fix you in his timing, not in man's timing, in his timing. And for some of us, it may be an overnight thing. And some of us, it may be a process. The thing about it is you just got to get it started. That's all I wanted to say. Just like she got started.
Amen. I'm sure that first house was like, she may have been stumbling, like, how do I ask? What do I ask? So she started with that first house and just kept going. So, and the beautiful thing that I like about this is she was going, as I said, she was going around doing, follow instructions that Elijah told her. So she had to follow instructions. And with that, by, you know, some of the neighbors, like I said, they were probably eager to help her. So doing this, the community got to participate in the process as well. And that takes me to the Great Commission. So not only was it just her, the community got to participate in what she was doing, which is always a good thing. And now when she did this, it may have not made any sense to her. It may have not made any sense. And a lot of times we do things, it don't make sense. It's like, I don't know if I should do it. It may not work out. We talk ourselves out of situations. If she would have not listened to Elijah, there's no telling what could have happened. I'm sure her sons would have probably been turned over to the creditors, and she would have been left in a bad situation. So in this, it's like, what does she have to lose? Her husband followed Elijah, so she knew he had to be a good man, so she followed the instructions of Elijah. And the Bible tells us faith without works is dead. So she could believe all day long, but she put in the work. She went step by step to these people's houses to get what she needed. And the beautiful thing about that is, let me just say it this way. When I first started reading my Bible, I promise you, I tried to start in Genesis. I said, I'm going to start in Genesis, and I'm going to read this Bible all the way through. And I'm reading, I'm like, I don't know what this is hard. And I didn't understand. And I'm like, I'm trying to read it like because I love books, and I got hundreds of books in my garage. And because I love reading books, I'm reading the Bible the way I would read a novel. And it took a while for me to get it that, you know, there's a process to this. And the Lord is who opens up your understanding when you're reading the word. It didn't happen for me the way it may have happened for somebody else. They may have picked up the word and got it right then and there. It was a process for me, like years. Like, I'm reading it, and now when I read the Bible, because I'm doing it more consistently, it's like, thank you for that. It's like you get a deeper understanding of what the Lord is saying, and you may have read something at one point in your life, and you go read it again, and you get a whole new meaning on what you were reading. So you got to start somewhere. Even if it's a passage one day, you can do that whole passage the whole week. Dig into it. Let the Lord multiply the knowledge that he's trying to give you. So I'm going to get back to what I was saying in regards to, husband, you about to say something?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So in regards to the oil that the lady, you know, her and her sons, they got all the jars, and Elijah's instructions were for them to go inside and shut the door behind them. And I like that part, because sometimes you need to go in and you need to shut everything off and get with the Lord. You can't, TV don't need to be on, kids don't need to be in your face, hubby, sorry, but I need this time right here. So a lot of times we do got to do behind, if I could say behind closed doors, between you and the Lord. And everything is not meant to be in everybody's face. So that was the time for them to be about the instructions that Elijah had given them. They could have easily been standing outside doing all of this. The process may have not worked the way it was supposed to work because all eyes would be on them. And the Lord don't want all eyes on you. He wants you to do what you're supposed to be doing. If you're doing it behind closed doors, the Lord will show what he wants to show. So let him do it. And with this oil, go ahead.
I wanted to jump in there. A lot of times when you're saying you have to separate, you know, I know when, just for the married people, I just don't want to leave them hanging. I can't. Sometimes I have to separate from my wife and she has to separate from me because we need that one-on-one time with the Lord. No, like she said, no offense to you, just need that time because you just do. When Jesus fed the 5,000 and he did that miracle, he sent the disciples off while he went by himself to talk to the Lord, talk to God. We can't be so sensitive that we scared to be by ourselves when the Lord is telling us to do something. Because sometimes you need that one-on-one with no distractions. I know I can be a distraction to my wife and vice versa because I want to make sure she's okay. And making sure she's okay, I could be missing what the Lord is telling me. So you have to get to a place that you can talk to the Father by yourself and be okay with it. It's not that you're alone. It's just the fact sometimes you need to be alone so you don't get everybody's opinion. I talk so much, sometimes my wife just wants, shut up. You talk too much. I've heard what you're saying. And I'm not saying that she said that, but I'm just can only imagine. I talk so much, I get on my own nerves. I can imagine with somebody else. So it's very important that when you see these things and close the door behind, you can't let everybody in. And sometimes when you're doing this for the Lord, I got to shut the door on my wife. Not because she's not, well, one and we're not together. We all that. But sometimes God just need to talk to me by myself. Sometimes God need to talk to her by herself because we have individual relationships. I don't care what my wife do, she's not going to mess up my relationship with the Lord. I tell you, can't no one mess that relationship up. That's between me and the Lord. And when you sell out like that, a lot of people can't sell out like that because they doing stuff they ain't got no business doing. But can't no one stop me from my relationship with the Lord? I'm not going to let my wife, I'm not going to let my kid. Can't no one separate me from the love of Christ, not even my wife. And I'm saying that in a good way because I hope she has the same feeling. Can't no one separate her. Because if I can get and change her mind and corrupt her and her relationship with the Lord, then, you know, she's not that, you know, should no one be able to do that? That's all I wanted to say. Let me be quiet because we're going to go somewhere totally different with this. But that's all. Go ahead.
No, I agree with what you said because, you know, today was a day. It's not that I didn't want to come on because of anything to do with the Lord. It was more of a personal situation that I was dealing with. So I just had to get out of my feelings and get out of my head. And, you know, at the end of the day, the Lord's will has to be done. And at the end of the day, only what I do for the Lord will last. So regardless of what's going on and what I didn't like, everything happens for a reason. And I just realized that I got to make some changes. And I'm praying about it, so but I'm going to start it just like with the widow. Got to start somewhere. So even if it seems like you're going through the same thing over and over and it don't seem like it's going to change, try. Start again. Start over. You only defeat it if you don't keep trying. So just keep trying and keep starting. And with this instructions that Elijah gave her, and I was telling you about when I was studying the, you know, studying, trying to read the Bible like I was reading a book. I believe there's a saying, the basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what the Bible is. So the instructions that we need to walk this walk is all in the Bible. All we got to do is pick it up. Let the Lord lead you. Let the Spirit lead and guide you what the Spirit wants to give you. Some people say you just flip the pages and wherever it lands, that's where the Lord wants you to go. That's what I used to do because that's what I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what. But now I'm studying and I'm searching and I'm trying to find something that is ministering to me so that way that I can minister to other people. And we are all ministers. We are all supposed to be about our Father's business. That's the Great Commission. We're all supposed to. You don't need a title. We're all supposed to be doing this as children of God. So with this story right here, after they shut the doors, the mom and the sons, they closed the doors behind them. The sons, they were bringing the mom the jars. So as they were bringing the jars, keep in mind, she had a small amount of oil. Some say it's kind of like, you know how you get like an anointing. You get like olive oil and it's used like as anointing oil. It may have been her husband, his ministry. It may have been just a small amount for them to make a meal, but it was a small amount. It wasn't a big container. So with this small amount, they kept pouring and pouring. All the jars were filled up. The thing is, the jars were empty. And in order for the Lord to fill us, we have to be empty. We have to be empty vessels to allow him to fill us. If we all full of this and that, there's no room for the oil, for the anointing to flow. So we do need to empty ourselves out of ourselves and ask the Lord to fill us with his oil, if I can say it like this. So with them, they kept pouring and pouring. And when all the jars were full, you know, the mom is like, bring me another one. And they're like, there is no more. Immediately, the oil stopped flowing. So God knows what you need, how long you need it, and wonder if she would have got more jars, if it would have just kept going. The more jars she would have got, I'm sure the richer she would have been. But the Lord knows what we need. And in this, God multiplied what she surrendered to him. And by her surrendering all these jars to him, he multiplied it. And he'll multiply anything that you surrender to him as well. He used what she had to start with, just like, for example, Moses with the shepherd's staff. It became the rod of God, a symbol of God's power multiplied. You already mentioned the 5,000, the little boy's lunch multiplied. Used what they had, and God multiplied it. So no matter how small it seems, God can use it. You just got to, you know, allow him. You got to surrender it to him for him to use it. It sounds like you want to say something, husband.
Yeah, I do. and I'm probably this might be the last thing that I say. You can look at all the jars that was empty, and you look at that little bit of oil, and the first thing that I'm thinking that comes to my brain, and I'm just being truthful, is how that little bit of oil going to fill all this up. And that's where a lot of times I'm speaking for myself, and I just believe a lot of people will look at it. We'll get to that point, and we'll follow God right there, and then we'll stop and be like, there's no way in the world that little bit of oil is going to fill up all. And all she had to do was be obedient and not worry about how much was in that little bit. But in that little bit of oil she had, she filled up all of those jugs and filled it to the top with just a little bit. And that's where we got to put our faith in the Lord and what we can't see and the impossibles. The Lord will take care of it. We just got to get it started. And all she had to do was fill up that first jug. And then the second one becomes a little bit more easier. Then it starts to get good to you because you're filling it up. And you didn't lost the concept of filling all of them up. You're just happy getting the first one filled, the second one filled,
right,
the third one filled. And if we can just get it started, the Lord will finish it. And there's a lot of people out there that wants a relationship that feels like they can't get started because they're not empty yet. Well, if you get started, the Lord will make sure you're empty. He'll make sure that you get filled back up. All you got to do is get it started. And that's really what tonight is what I'm trying to say. Just get it started. And then my wife was saying she's so distraught on something in her feelings And I'm trying to, it's the devil don't want you to get started. Regardless how you feel, because some days we feel good, some days we feel bad. Some days we have a reality check. And it's just a trick from the devil because he don't want you to get started. Because once you get started, he knows there's no stopping you. And even if you have a little doubt and feeling, you just keep doing what he tells you to do. Because as you're doing it, it's not you, it's him. And when the work becomes done, it's not going to be what you did. It's going to be what the Lord did. And the Lord gets the credit and the glory. Can't no one get credit for this story but the Lord, because she only had a little bit of oil. And she had enough to do more than what she needed to do. We just got to get it started. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm excited about Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I could preach on anything right now. But we just got to get it started. And once we get it started, just watch the Lord make a way. And remember what they did before they started. They shut the door. Sometime before you get started, you got to shut everybody out and Lord, let the Lord start you. And you can't take the gossip and you can't take opinions. You just got to get it started. And once you get it started, watch and see what happens. There's a worldly song back in the day, and the only reason I know it is because we went to a track meet. We used to play before we went to track meets, and we used to get off the bus, let's get it started. It's by MC Hammer. We just get it started. And if you get it started, I guarantee you the Lord will finish it. The Lord will send it.
Amen.
I will eat the book if it don't happen. Just get it started. Go ahead.
With that get it started, too, in that oil, you know, she could have been looking at it like, this man crazy. This little jar of oil is not going to fill all of these. The beautiful thing about her shutting the door and her sons being present, they got to see what God can do, too. So they were a witness to the miracle that was taking place. So with that, I'm sure it doesn't say anything about it in the word that I know of. Maybe other people may know a little bit more than me, but in this passage, I don't see it. That may have transformed their lives to know God can do anything. All you got to do is trust him. And although the situation, it may have looked, you know, doom and gloom, and they couldn't see the end result, they kept bringing the mama the jars. So they clearly saw this little bit of oil is still going. So that's a testimony as well for her children to see what God can do and what it means to trust God no matter what it looks like. In the end, it's always going to work out if you follow the instructions. The Bible has all the instructions that you need. You got to start somewhere. MC Hammer said, let's get it started.
I also want to say something. I know I keep saying I'm going to shut up. I promise you. It's the revival in me right now, so y'all excuse me. My wife even said before, don't be long-winded. I'm going to be quiet after this, and she can close us out. But when you was testifying about a testimony, I remember, and there's a lot of other testimonies I could throw out there, but the one I'm going to use is my wife's mother, because I was there when the doctor, well, I think it was a nurse, told my wife, won't you just let your mother go in peace? And when you hear that kind of stuff, when you hear, you got to close the door behind all that negativity, and you got to get with what the Lord says and fill yourself up with what's holy and what's acceptable. You can't listen to a lot of nonsense. So when they shut the door and start filling the jar up, which sometimes we got to do is shut the door and not listen to what other people say. Even if it's their profession, even it could have been a doctor, it could have been a nurse. Just let your mama die in peace. Stop trying to keep her alive. That's what they pretty much told her. And if you would have looked at her, if you would have saw her laying there in the very beginning, you know, I'm like, okay, let the Lord, okay, we already know what we got to do. Let's start preparing for, you know. But thank the Lord that they had enough sense to close the door and believe that God was going to do a miracle. And the miracle is still happening. Each and every day. But sometimes we got to close the door on what even people that you believe. And I'm trying to say this for Saturday, but everyone you count, you can't count on. And what I mean by that is just because you count them don't mean that they're going to be for you. But you know that they can't count, that you can't count on them. So sometimes you just got to remove yourself and just be you and the Lord, because you know you and the Lord, you can count on the Lord. You know, I can count on my spouse, but I don't know if it gets to the nitty-nitty-nitty. I need to, me and we need to be in this. And if me and him is in this, I can be that much stronger for everybody else. But just remember, just get it started. Just start. Start the process. You may not look good right now. It may not seem to be good right now. But just get it started. Because once you get it started, trust me, the Lord will take over. And the Lord likes showing up and making things look impossible possible. That's what the Lord likes doing that kind of stuff. He does it throughout the Bible. When he fed the 5,000, all they had was a little boy's lunch. And watch how the Lord moved it. But after he did it, he had to go pray because he couldn't be around all them people. Because when you get around all them people, all the stuff starts. You got to get away from people sometime. And look how he did that. And even with Mark, he had to go by himself for a little bit, get instructions. He had to get away from the people. Sometimes you just got to take what the Lord gives you and get it started and watch how it revolves. Wife, you can take us home.
No.
But before you take us home, before you take us home.
Go ahead.
What's that? No, you can take us home.
That's pretty much all I have.
Well, you can take us home. But just remember that just for those that's listening, yeah, I'm on a roll. I got to get out of here because I'm talking and I'm getting real excited. And the reason I'm excited is because of what the Lord is doing. The devil is mad. He is mad at us. And the reason I'm excited is I got a call from London that we're going to be in the prison Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. And the thing that I love about it is I have no control on when these inmates call. They can call on Friday night. They can call on Saturday night, or they can call on Sunday morning. I'm excited about that. And because I'm excited about that, I already know the devil mad, and he's going to try to hit me. He's going to try to hit my family. Then he's going to try to mess with my mind. I already know it's coming. So I'm excited. So when I'm on the platform and I'm talking, I'm just excited because I want the devil to know that he can't defeat me. He can't hurt me. And what we're getting ready to do, and when I say my wife, because she's me and her are one, when we do this together. We do this in unity. And the devil will try to attack us. He tried to attack my wife. And I was just sharing with my wife, when people mess with you, I get angry, I get mad. And the Lord is showing me something. I ain't got to fight. I ain't got to throw a punch. Just continue to do what I got to do. He's going to handle all that for me. I'm learning that. I'm just, I'm learning. If we mess with my wife, then, you know, I'm going to use my mercy and grace credit card. But the Lord is showing me you ain't got to use them credit cards. Continue to do what I want you to do. And all day while my wife's feeling like that, the Lord is working with me talking to people in London, talking to people in Germany, and yet and still, we're still going to reach souls. It's not a matter whether I'm preaching or who's ever preaching. The fact of the matter is God's word is going to be preached. And if we can just touch one, we're happy. Not speaking about people in the United States. I'm talking about going over to London and Germany. And that's where we focused at right now. Elder Oliver, we're right there talking and with people who is reaching out to me saying we love what you do. But with that being said, why go ahead and take us out.
Well, amen. I thank God for everything that he's doing. He's an awesome God, awesome God. With that, if I can just say one final thing, I believe there's a scripture that says draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. So start somewhere. Make an effort to do something different, to change your situation. Start somewhere. Like I said, I don't care if it's just a little bit at a time. You can do just start somewhere. You can't make progress if you don't start anywhere. So just start somewhere. And as far as the revival goes, we're thanking God in advance for the souls that will be saved. We're thanking God for the word that's going to go forth. We're thanking God for giving all the people that will be speaking the words to say, and we trust God with the whole outcome from the beginning of the month to the end of the month, and we're praying for some changes, not only in the U.S., but abroad. We're just praying for change. And one person at a time, we got to start somewhere. If you have somebody on your job, if you have a neighbor, if you have a friend, one person at a time, all it takes is for you to give that kind word, to offer, just offer some kindness, show somebody the love of Christ. So that way, just like the young men in this story, they saw the miracle through their what their mom was doing. You can be that person. They can see the miracle in your life, how you live, how you walk, how you talk, because they are watching. People are watching. So, again, I'm going to go back to what I said at the beginning with my husband's friend that he ran into. Be mindful of what comes out of your mouth, because people are watching, and you don't want to hinder anybody. So just keep that in mind. I'm not going to hold anybody any longer. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. I pray that you all got something out of the message tonight. I pray and I stand with you on your start, and I thank God in advance for your start. And if you can help somebody else on their start, help somebody else on their start. Be that voice of reason, that godly counsel for that person. So I'm going to close us out in prayer and meet us back tomorrow night. Husband, you want to get the schedule tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 7 p.m., PTC, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. I don't know if my husband
you're doing
is on,
a great job. You're doing a great job. Tomorrow night, let's just don't give too much at once. It's tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Praise Tabernacle Bible Study, Bishop Omar, First Lady Pamela Zachary, Bible Study. Richard Taylor will be overseeing it tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Also Thursday night, Omar Zachary Ministries will be live at 7 p.m. Same online website, same phone number. And if you want to watch that on Facebook Live, go to Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville. You can see them on Facebook Live on Thursday night at 7 p.m. as well. And then on Sunday, Friday, we will start our revival on the 5th at 7:30 p.m. on that Friday night. We're going to kick it off. And that's all I got for right now. So you can just go ahead and close this out.
All right.
Oh, and special thanks to all my sponsors. I'm sorry, my sponsors. Just throw them for helping me with the revival and all of that they're doing and, you know, the finances they're putting up for it. I got to say that. So, you know, I don't want people the finances. So, you know, that being said, go ahead and we'll meet you back here tomorrow night. You can close us out.
You sure?
Positive.
All right. All right, Father God, we come to you tonight. First of all, we want to thank you. Thank you for all that you've done on this evening. We pray that something was said that touched one of your children to not only just get it for themselves, but to give it to somebody else. We thank you for being King of Kings. Thank you for being the Lord of Lords. Thank you for being the Prince of Peace, Lord Jesus. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for the souls that will be saved. We thank you for just growth. We thank you for learning in you and growing in you. We ask that you continue to keep us safe, keep our loved ones safe, protected throughout this week. Put your loving arms of protection all around them. Be a fence from the crown of their heads to everybody that's listening under the sound of my voice. This prayer goes out to everyone, you, your family members, anybody that's associated with you. We plead the blood of Jesus over their lives right now. Father God, we just thank you for your healing power. People going through physical changes in their body, we just pray and we ask that you touch their minds right now, Lord Jesus. Touch them like only you can. No matter what the doctor says, you are a true healer. And I know you for myself to be a true healer. So I pray the blood of Jesus over everyone. I ask that you continue to lift us up in prayer as we do the work of the Lord. Continue to just tune in when you can. Spread the word about the show if it's been a blessing to you. Lord Jesus, just let your will be done, and we thank you for everything that you're going to do in advance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good night, everybody.